Welcome. Make yourselves comfortable. Spin around. I have referred to our sitting practice as wonderfully useless. But it's not just the sitting practice. That's wonderfully useless. It's your mind, it's your thinking that's wonderfully useless. But you have lots of uses for it, don't you? I do. So I want to just pick up on something that came from the Zen teachings of Bodhidharma. This is a translation by Red Pine. There are four aspects here that I just want to go over. Lots of times when I do these Dharma talks, I think about it like expedient means, just a way of talking, not necessarily the reality, but just the talking about it. So sometimes I feel a little bit like I might be pointing at the moon, but you may just see a finger. So Bodhidharma says, trying to find a Buddha or enlightenment is like trying to grab space. Space has a name, but no form. It's not something you can pick up or put down. And you certainly can't grab it. Beyond this mind, you'll never see Buddha. The Buddha is a product of your mind. Why look for a Buddha beyond this mind? My shorthanded way of saying that is just this. And then he says, to see form but not be corrupted by form, or to hear sound but not be corrupted by sound, is liberation. Eyes that aren't attached to form are the gates of Zen. Ears that aren't attached to sound are also the gates of Zen. In short, those who perceive the existence and nature of phenomena and remain unattached are liberated. In short, those who perceive the existence and nature of phenomena and remain unattached are liberated. Those who perceive the external appearance of phenomena are at their mercy. Not to be subject to affliction is what's meant by liberation. There's no other liberation. When you know how to look at form, form doesn't give rise to mind, and mind doesn't give rise to form. Form and mind are both pure. So I'd like to tell a little story about something that happened to me one day. This is a common occurrence in our modern world where we have these big doors and big windows. And sometimes a bird will just, who knows why, slam right into it, fly right into it, crash into it. I had a dove do this while I was standing there looking out the window. Wham, really hard. Whew, fall down. I didn't cry out. I had don't know mind. I just went up, opened the door. Is the bird dead? Is it alive? Is its neck broken? Is it not? I just gently held it. Could see it was breathing, could see it was still alive. Did nothing. Didn't kiss it to make it better. Didn't pet it. Didn't caress it. Didn't give it my attention as though I could do something for it. I just gently held it. Took it out to a little bench that I had on my deck and set it on the bench and let it be. Whatever was going to happen was going to happen. In a couple of minutes, it straightened up, looked around, and flew away. That's eyes that are not attached to form and ears that are not attached to form. So it's not that we don't participate. It's not that we don't care. It's not that we're disengaged. It's that we're not creating, making something out of it that interferes with the natural process of what's happening. Those who perceive the external appearance of phenomena, they're at the mercy of that phenomena. Not to be subject to affliction is what is meant by liberation. There's no other liberation. So then he says, not thinking about anything is Zen. Once you know this, walking, standing, sitting, or lying down, everything you do is Zen. To know that the mind is empty is to see Buddha. The essence of the way is detachment. And the goal of those who practice is freedom from appearances. The appearance of appearance as no appearance can't be seen visually, but can only be known by means of wisdom. So whoever hears and believes this teaching embarks on the great vehicle and leaves the three realms: ignorance, greed, and anger. To leave the three realms means to go from greed, anger, and delusion back to morality, meditation, and wisdom. The great vehicle is the greatest of all vehicles. It's the conveyance of bodhisattvas who use everything without using anything and who travel all day without traveling. Such is the vehicle of Buddhas. I think that's just wonderful. It's just one of those things, you know, I have to keep coming back to and gain perspective again. It's like, oh, yes, that's it. Thank you very much. In one sense, it's a lot to digest. In another sense, there's nothing there to digest. You know, we're so accustomed to having to get somewhere, to having to make something. It's really hard for us to just be free. Just be free. Liberated. So, got a busy month coming up. Got a retreat, there's holidays. Speaking of a good test for being free, all the energy around holidays and all our history with family and, oh my gosh, there's lots there to play with. I think of life rather than a burden as an adventure. To me, that's playing. It doesn't mean that there isn't difficulty or struggle, you know, or work to be done, you know, but it's still play. Well, thank you.